You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
Packers Talk.
After the heartbreaking overtime loss to the Indianapolis Colts in late November, I titled that week's show, They Just Don't Have It. Well, fuck me, it sure looks like the Green Bay Packers have found it. And with that, I'd like to welcome you to this week's episode of Lemps Talkin' Pack. I am your host, Chris Lempesis, coming to you once again from my basement Packer room in my home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, here to break down Green Bay's... Oh, dude, how fucking rad was that? 40-14 blowout win over the Tennessee Titans at a snowy Lambeau Field on Sunday night. A game played before the nation on NBC Sunday Night Football. Oh, man, I am so... If you can't tolerate, I am so hyped to do this show tonight, you guys. Oh, my God, I'm so excited. I couldn't wait to sit down and do this after the game was over. I know it might be a little sloppy tonight, but whatever. I am here to catch the vibe tonight. I'm going for a vibe tonight, man. We are vibing on this week's show. Oh, I'm so excited. I can't wait. Let's go. Let's do this. With the win, the Packers improved to 12-3 on the season. Still good enough for the top spot in the NFC. Here's how they get home field advantage throughout the playoffs. Are you ready? Got a pen? Got a pencil? Write this down. Win next week. That's it. Go to Chicago and win. Do that and the road to Tampa goes through Lambeau Field. Are there other scenarios? Yes. Do I want to read them? No. Hell no. Hell no. I don't want to read them. I'm not even going to let that negativity enter the proceedings tonight. It's not even getting in the building tonight. They're going to Chicago. They're winning and they are locking up home field advantage. It is happening, folks. It is time. R.I.P. Kevin Green. We will never forget that moment. It is time. Rest in peace, Kevin Green. Folks, I am all the way in on this team. The chips have been moved to the center of the table. No fear on my end. This team we saw tonight, this is a Super Bowl team. Can I get a hell yeah? Hell yeah. Before we get into the fun, God, I hope you've been having fun already. Got to do the shameless self-promotion, which I know you love or at the very least tolerate. Don't worry, we're going to get to the fun, the real fun, the real shit. Social media, LempsMKE, at It's Just Chris Now. That's Twitter. God, I should say Twitter and then announce the handle. That's how excited I am. Facebook, Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts. Email, olbagofdonuts, olbagofdonuts at gmail.com. olbagofdonuts at gmail.com. For anyone listening on the wonderful Packers Talk iTunes page, leave a rating, 5 stars. I like those the most. We like those the most. 4 stars, those are good too. Maybe a comment. No one's left it in weeks. I don't even know why I'm saying it, but do it if you want. It's there. We're on Spotify, Packers Talk. Search for Packers Talk and look for our logo, which is the head of the Vince Lombardi statue, which sits outside in Lambeau Field. God, I'm sure Vince was looking down tonight. I'm sure he was proud of what he saw. And we're on iHeartRadio, so search for Packers Talk there. Okay, now that we done got that out the way, let's go. Let's dive right in. Let's talk about this statement dub. Statement dub. Much more satisfying than the regular garden variety dub of last week. Oh, no, no. This was not that. This was a putting the rest of the league on notice dub. They did it, you guys. They fucking did it. They put it all together. I've been waiting all season for this. I'm sure you have too. They did it for this team to put it all together. That's what we've been waiting for, and tonight it happened. To me, this is the second best win of the Matt LaFleur era. Easily. Easily the second best win for him as head coach of the Packers, behind only the playoff win over Seattle last year. Oh, yeah, it's better than the Saints win from week 3. Yeah. That Saints win, that was a nice win. That was a great win. But, you know, that was week 3. It was still early in the season, still kind of figuring out, you know, who the Packers were, who the Saints were. Obviously, the Saints and the Packers have ended up being very good teams. So it's a very good win. But this tonight was better than that. Behind only the Seattle playoff win. Second best win for him. Congratulations to him on that. You know? And don't even tell me he wasn't coaching to make a point tonight. In case you don't know, Matt LaFleur was the offensive coordinator in Tennessee, Mike Vrabel's first year, 2018. So Vrabel's first year there was LaFleur's only year there. And there were rumors as that season went on that he wasn't real happy with the job LaFleur was doing, that he was going to fire him. There were reports that they didn't really get along. They didn't like each other very much. Like, even after he got hired as Packers head coach, I think it was Bob McGinn, who I know Packer fans all love, wrote that that he had heard that had he not taken the Packers job, there was a good chance that Vrabel was going to fire LaFleur. You don't think Matt was out to make a point tonight? I'm pretty sure he was. Did you catch that last scoring drive for the Packers? Up, 33-14, 3rd-and-10. I mean, the whole drive, I mean, you could tell they were still in it to win it. They were still trying to score. They were out for blood. 3rd-and-10 on that last drive. Rodgers is under heavy pressure, flicks one down the sidelines to Davante Adams, hauls it in. I mean, total heat check throw. Why not? Why not? A.J. Dillon does the rest. More on him in a minute. Oh, I can't wait to talk about A.J. Dillon, you guys. He does the rest, hammers it into the end zone for another score. Don't even tell me that wasn't a fuck you drive from Matt LaFleur. That absolutely was. He was coaching to make a point tonight. And point made. Yeah, point definitely made. Where do I even start? I mean, where do we really dive in? God damn, I could pick any one of a few areas, and really, you wouldn't be able to argue with me. I feel like I have to start by talking about the running game. And by the running game, the highlight, the headliner, A.J. Dillon. How awesome was A.J. Dillon tonight? 21 carries, 124 yards, 2 scores. That is a 5.9 yards per carry. Incredible stuff from A.J. Dillon tonight. So we finally got to see A.J. Dillon in action. The second round pick from Boston College. And we got to see what he brings to the table. And boy, does he bring a lot to the table, folks. I mean, obviously we knew, you know, his stature, how strong he was, how big he is. We got to see that in action. You know, we saw how physical he was at Boston College. That translated tonight. That's going to translate to the pros, for sure. He is a violent runner. He's out to make contact. He runs to make a point, you could say. Similar to Jamal Williams, who was out tonight with the, I believe, calf injury. And you know, if you listen to the show, you know I love Jamal Williams. And I'm not here to put Jamal Williams down. But, I mean, you could see in one game, you could see A.J. Dillon is more talented. It's a similar style, both physical runners, but he's just more, there's an extra athletic element I think he has. I think he's probably a little faster. He's probably got better breakaway speed. You know, I'm not here to shit on Jamal, but just A.J. Dillon is Jamal Williams, but better. I mean, you can see that right away, you know? And the best thing is he's got fresh legs. They haven't used him all year. Now, he missed 6 weeks, obviously being on the COVID list. And how great was that? That's the extra. How great was that to see him do that tonight? Knowing everything he'd been through and how hard he'd been hit by COVID-19. To get back on the field and put up that type of performance in his first real action? How cool was that? You know? Good for him. You got to feel great for that kid. But he brings something extra to this offense. Not just the running game, but the offense as a whole. You could see it tonight. He has that. He had a transformative effect on the offense. Again, the power is there. The physicality is there. But there's a breakaway speed element. There's a quickness. There's a shiftiness to him. He's got pretty good vision. You have to think that's only going to get better as he gets more reps and gets more comfortable in the offense. Do I think he's probably supplanted Jamal in the number two role? I think he may have in one game, yes. I will say that. I think he may be the number two back now. You know? This kid with fresh legs? That's scary. That is scary, folks. He needs to work on his Lambo leaps. Now, that needs some work. But he'll get there. He'll get there. It was nice to see Alan Lazard give him the boost on the second one. That's a good teammate right there, running over and giving him the boost so he could get a full-on Lambo leap, a fully. That was good. It was nice to see. But, of course, it wasn't just A.J. Dillon. No, 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 no. Aaron Jones. Showtime 33 was awesome. 10 carries, 94 yards. Obviously benefited from the missed no challenge by the Titans on his 59-yard run. But even outside of that run, he was really, really good tonight. He was really good in the second. He missed a lot of time in that first half battling, I believe, a left hip injury, they said on the broadcast. But, I mean, you know, he did a lot of work in that second half and was Aaron Jones. He's a star running back. Jesus, the Packers might have two of these fucking guys. They might have two star backs. How cool is that? Really good stuff from Jones, you know? And that run was really impressive, that 59-yarder. I mean, he looked dead to rights running into the line. And then Jones does, you know, did what he does. Bounced it out to the left, worked his way to the sidelines, got to the sidelines, and took off. Again, he did step out of bounds. That's not his fault that the Titans didn't challenge that. Still a really good run. The run blocking was awesome. I mean, the offensive line, even after Rick Wagner left with the knee injury, you know, he's at right tackle. He leaves. Lucas Patrick comes in at right guard. Billy Turner slides over to right tackle, kicks out, didn't miss a beat. Thought the tight ends blocked really well. The wide receivers blocked really well. Alan Lazard, you know, he does all the little things, not just giving teammates boosts to get full-on Lambeau leaps. He's a hell of a run blocker. Really an unsung hero for this offense, as far as that goes. He brings an extra element, an extra toughness to the run blocking that, you know, hasn't really been there in recent years, but it's been there this year, and his run blocking seems to be getting even better, which is great. So they were obviously the stars of the show tonight offensively, right? And the pass blocking was excellent too. Really good pass pro. You have to say pass pro so people think you sound like an expert, remember. So pass pro was excellent as well. You know, when you combine all of that, Dylan, Jones, the run blocking, the pass blocking, sure makes Aaron Rodgers' job much easier, doesn't it? It's crazy to think of Rodgers as a supporting player in this offensive cast. But shit, you gotta say he was Sunday night. I mean, he was still rather good. He was still really good. I mean, what did he finish? 21 of 25, 231 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 pick, 9.2 yards per attempt. The 1 pick shows you why they drafted Jordan Love. Just kidding, you assholes. Don't worry, that's a joke. But yeah, still, I mean, it was still a really good night from Aaron Rodgers. And he made some great throws. The goal line fade to Devontae Adams that made it 19-0 Green Bay in the second quarter. That was a beauty. That was a beautiful throw. As was the aforementioned heat check throw to Devontae on 3rd and 10 on the final scoring drive of the night. But, I mean, really, he had a lot of time on a lot of his throws tonight, thinking specifically about the touchdown to Equanimeous St. Brown, ESB, as we call him here on the show, that made it 12-0. And then on Adams' final receiving touchdown of the night, 2nd and goal, Rodgers again, a mountain of time waits, finds a wide open Adams in the end zone for the score. PAT good, 26-14 pack, 10-27 to go in the third. So yeah, I mean, you know, he was good, but again, the offensive line, I mean, they made it easy for him. The offense as a whole made it easy for Aaron Rodgers tonight. That's what you want to see. It shouldn't have to be all on Rodgers every week. And it wasn't tonight. That's great. And how was Adams so wide open on that touchdown? How is he so awesome every week? I got to talk about Devontae Adams now. He was awesome again tonight. 11 catches, 142 yards, and 3 scores on 12 targets. That is insane. I got to read you this tweet now. This is from Packers History. The Twitter page, Packers History, at Historic Packers. Devontae Adams in 2020. 5 multi-touchdown games. 7 games with 100-plus yards. 5 games with 10-plus receptions. That last one. 5 games with 10-plus receptions. That is bonkers. That is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Did I spell that right? I'm so hyped up, I don't even know. I was trying to do the Gwen Stefani thing. I don't even know if I spelled it right. Right? Yeah, whatever. It was great. He was great. I mean, he's awesome. And he missed 2 games. That's the craziest part about the season he's having and the numbers he's putting up. He missed 2 games. Couple plays I've already mentioned. The heat check catch, that was a great throw. That was a great catch from Adams too. And his catch on the goal line fade was awesome too. How about his release on that goal line fade? Wow, a master technician at work once again. Devontae Adams off the line of scrimmage. And you know, his first touchdown of the night was impressive too. 1st and goal at the 5, Rodgers quick pass down the line to his right to Adams, who fights past the defender and gets into the end zone. Nice work bullying his way past the DB. Gets into the end zone. That made it 6-0 Packers. I mean, that was great. And the offense as a whole. Now, I want to talk about the offense as a whole. What we saw tonight, this is much more sustainable than what we are used to seeing from the Packers offensively, particularly as it pertains to the playoffs. Here's what I mean. The run game. This run game, the success of this run game, takes so much pressure off of Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't have to be Superman. He doesn't have to be Godzilla. You know, he can focus on moving the chains, the short to intermediate stuff, using his legendary accuracy to his advantage. In short, and I don't mean this to slight Rodgers at all, I hope you know that. In short, kind of basically late career John Elway. Right? It was funny that I tweeted that something to that effect during the game, and then one of the Packers therapy guys sent me a tweet, was just a picture of John Elway. And I was like, that's exactly what I didn't say John Elway in my tweet, but they said it, they read my mind. Right? And that's what I'm saying now. Basically late career John Elway, but with much more left in the tank than Elway had at the end. You know, Rodgers can make throws now. I mean, it's not like the long game, it's not like the long ball is not in his repertoire. It still is. He can still go deep with the best of them. It's just, they don't have to rely on that now. You know, they don't have to constantly be taking stabs downfield. You can use that, you know, you can work that off the play action, use it more sporadically, which makes it more dangerous, in my opinion. Basically like an extremely wealthy man's late career John Elway, right? I mean, imagine playing this Packers team in the playoffs. Imagine having to defend this run game first and foremost. And then you have to worry about Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams eating you alive. Worrying about that as like a secondary concern? Holy shit, how would you even defend this team? Certainly the Titans couldn't do it tonight. I can't believe I'm 16 minutes in now and I haven't even talked about the defense. I apologize. I apologize to the Packers defense for taking so long to get to them. They were awesome tonight. The Titans were averaging, what, 31 or over 30, right around 31 points a game coming in? The Packers held them to 14. This defense, this much maligned defense, held that offense to 14 points? How? How, I ask you? Derrick Henry, what did I just see? I saw some stat just before I started recording. He had 9 straight road games of over 100 yards. Didn't do it tonight. Packers kept him in check. King Henry, 23 carries, 98 yards. He was averaging, I think, 752,000 yards a game coming in with roughly two to three players he put into early retirement a week with the stiff arms and the brute force running guys over. Didn't do that tonight, did he? Nope, they kept him in check. How? First, honestly, I thought Mike Pettine coached a really, really good game. Very, very good game. Didn't go light box. Wasn't, you know, rolling primarily with 6 DBs. He loaded the box. They had 4, it looked like they had 4 D linemen up on the line at times. Like at multiple times, I thought I saw that. They loaded the box. They lined up to play the run. Holy shit, Mike Pettine knows how to do that. I didn't know if he did you? You didn't know that either. We found out tonight he does know how to focus on the run, stopping the run. They're actually pressuring the opposing QB now. Okay, so that's not totally new. I did want to read you a tweet from ESPN from the Next Gen Stats. This is from at Next Gen Stats. The Packers generated a 35.7 team pressure rate, their third highest in a game this season. 3 of the Packers' 4 highest pressure rates have come since week 13. So, and that's right around the time when Clark and Z went, you know, amongst other guys, went to Pettine and said, like, let us be us. Let us get after the quarterback. Call more blitzes. Let us pressure. Let us get after these guys. And Pettine, to his credit, listened. You know? And they're doing, and as they're doing it more and more, as they're pressuring the opposing QB more and more, they're getting better at it. Funny how that works. I'm just glad that they went to him, because he would have never done it on his own. But those guys took it upon themselves to go to him and credit him again. He listened. And the pressure's getting better and better as the weeks go on. You know, that's awesome. And then more than any schematic stuff, I thought Pettine just had his guys fired up and ready to go. You could tell from Jump Street tonight, they were ready to play. You know, so smart schematic choices and a fired up group, shit from there, man, you just let the talent take over. And that's what happened tonight. It might be easy to forget, but this defense has loads of talent. Loads. And tonight, they showed it. For me, it all starts with Darnell Savage. I can't figure out, there's no other way to begin talking about specific performances. You got to talk about Darnell Savage. 5 tackles, 3 passes defended and an interception. Another interception. 4 for him this season now. They've all come in, what, the last month? 5 weeks? Incredible. That sequence, he had, I mean, let's talk about his sequence in the first quarter tonight on the Titans' first offensive series of the night. He made his presence known immediately. Second down, he has a nice pass breakup. Third and seven, he comes in on the blitz, forces Tannehill to throw sooner than he wanted, incomplete, that forces a punt. Right away, Darnell Savage making his presence known. That's what the great safety, that's what the great defensive players do. Right? Then second quarter, third and four, he picks Tannehill off. Nice work undercutting the route to pick the ball off. You know? And then in the third quarter, he almost had another pick. Third and seven, Tannehill again under pressure. Savage almost comes up with a pick. I think that one would have been a pick six. That would have been nice. Would have been nice for him to get that. But still, I mean, great. Those are just a few moments that highlight how good he was. And he was awesome, you know? He's not putting it together. I keep seeing people go, well, he's really putting it together. The light's coming on. No, fuck that. He has put it all together. The light is on. It is bright as shit. It's on. You are watching the next great Packer safety, folks. He's here now. And his name is Darnell Savage, right? Following in the lineage of Leroy Butler and the safety whose name we will not say because he's a complete and total scumbag. And then Nick Collins, whose career was ended far too soon, you know? He's the next in line. Savage is, he's here. He's not just the next great Packer safety. I think we're seeing the next elite NFL safety. I'll say that. I'm there now. I'm ready to say that about him. Speaking of 2019 first round picks, Rashawn Gary, wow. You know, I feel like I talk about him every week, but, you know, and Savage too. I just mentioned Gary a minute, didn't mention Gary a minute ago, actually. But he had nice pressure. He did a nice job pressuring Tannehill on Savage's interception. So, great stuff for him. But, I mean, five pressures and hurries on the night for him, I believe. He was awesome. His ascent continues. He continues to show more every week. And the Smiths were really good. Z had another sack. He's right near the top of the league once again. I thought Preston was very noticeable tonight. You know, those three playing like that, Gary and the Smiths, that is a game changer for this defense. That changes a lot. It changes the trajectory a lot for this defense. And now we come to the part where I shower praise on Jaire Alexander. Look, folks, you may not have known much about the Titans coming into the game. A.J. Brown, their top receiver, he's a legit stud. He's a beast. Four catches, 43 yards. Welcome to Alexander Island, AJ. Does he call it Jaw Island or Jaire? Whatever he calls it, I'm calling it Alexander Island. He totally had AJ Brown handcuffed all night. Great, great stuff from Jaire. What, three passes defended too? Yeah, he also had three passes defended tonight. So yeah, six passes defended between Savage and Jaire Alexander. Three each. That's awesome. You know, and I'll say this. I've said this before on the show about Jaire. He's going to end up being the highest paid corner in NFL history. Oh, yeah, that's coming. They're not there. They're a year or two away from that. But he's going to be the highest paid corner in NFL history. There's no doubt about that. I think Ramsey has the highest total. It's $100 million. Jaire's going to surpass that easily. Yeah. And he's completely deserving. He's a stud. You know, he's a lockdown corner. Now, I'm not sure the defense will play this way every week. But tonight, they showed us their collective ceiling. And again, as I have said many times on the show, they don't have to be this good every week. Just somewhere near this good, in the ballpark of being as good as they were tonight. And this team is going to be almost impossible to beat. Oh, yeah. Special teams, they had the one kick block that got negated on a neutral zone infraction that may or may not have been an actual neutral zone infraction. And then the one missed PAT, but otherwise, I guess it was a solid night. I mean, they never punted. What's the best way to avoid, you know, shitty punts? Just don't punt the ball. They never punted, folks. They never punted tonight. Was there anything I wasn't really happy with, you're wondering? I guess there were a couple of things. I didn't love going for two after the ESB touchdown made it 12-0. I know they missed the first PAT of the night. I would have kicked it again. I don't think Crosby misses two in a row. So that left a point on the table. And then I didn't like the decision to go for it after that blocked field goal was negated. I get it's fourth and three, and that's a manageable fourth down, whatever the analytics say, blah, blah, blah. I would have kicked another field goal. Or, you know, I would have sent Crosby out again, you know? I just don't think there's any way they blocked two in a row. If you trust Crosby from 35 in those conditions, don't you trust him from 30? I say kick the field goal, make it 22-0, and really continue choking Tennessee out. I was worried leaving those 4 points on the table was gonna haunt Green Bay, and it didn't. It looked like it might. Admit it, you thought it might after that 45-yard Tannehill touchdown run cut the lead to 19-14 in the third quarter. But the Packers responded. Holy shit, did they ever respond? God damn, can I get a hell yeah? So big picture time now, just over 25 minutes in. What you saw tonight, folks, was a team that can win a Super Bowl. Not just get to a Super Bowl, but win a Super Bowl. That team that we saw tonight, that team is head and shoulders above anyone in the NFC. And maybe the NFL other than Kansas City. You know, I wasn't sure that team existed. If you remember how down I was on them after the Colts game, you know, this was their fourth, to me, measuring stick game of the season. Now, they showed they could win a close one in beating New Orleans. Of course, they also got stomped by Tampa and again choked one away against Indy. Nowhere in those three games did we see the type of team we saw tonight. Nowhere. Even the Saints win, again, as good as it was so early in the season, it was hard to tell exactly what that meant, if anything. This win is not that. This win is incredibly meaningful. This win shows us how good these Packers can be. And they showed us how important it is for them to be at Lambeau. If this team shows up to that stadium next month, good luck getting out of there alive if you're the opponent. I drunkenly said last week I wanted the Packers to thrill me, and boy, howdy, did they thrill me. Get excited, folks. Get really excited. Okay, so I asked people to submit questions via Twitter and email, and they did not disappoint, which is great, because again, it is late as shit. It's actually Monday morning now. God, I'm going to be so tired at work, but whatever. What a win tonight. It's worth it. So these questions were submitted via Twitter. Hang on a second here. These are in no particular order. First question from Curtis Polishinski at KS Polish. He writes, AJ Dillon in all caps with about 10 exclamation points. Was awesome. Question, is this evidence that we look past the Panthers? From listening to podcasts this week, the Titans' D was pretty bad, but our D plan was really good. They also kept targeting Jair for some reason. Does Pettin keep his job now? Okay, so a couple questions in there. Is this evidence that they looked past the Panthers? No, I don't think they looked past the Panthers because they came out hot in that game. I think they foolishly thought that the Panthers were going to quit once it was, 21-0 or whatever it was. Once they got up big, I think they thought Carolina was going to quit, and Carolina didn't, which, again, credit the Panthers for that, as I did on the show last week. As drunk as I was, I still credited them. I don't think they look past Panthers. I just think they, I don't know, they just, you know, yeah, they kind of blew their wad early. Not to be too graphic, but that's kind of what happened against Carolina. You know, and they thought Carolina was going to quit, and it was like, they didn't, and it was like, oh, we have to keep playing. And then they had to flip the switch back on, and it's hard to do that. It's really hard to do that in the NFL. You know, you can't go on, off, on. So that's what happened there. And then, does Pettin keep his job now? No, I mean, I still think Pettin's on the hot seat. I mean, I still think short of winning a Super Bowl, certainly short of getting to a Super Bowl, it's going to be hard for him to keep his job. So I don't know if tonight changes that. It maybe makes the seat a little less hot. I will say that. It's good work from him tonight. Wesley Wyndham Price at Price Wyndham says, best win of the season by far. If we can somehow avoid teams with an elite pass rush, we could make a deep playoff run. And if the defense makes plays like tonight, even that might not matter. Yeah, I mean, I think that's true. The thing I would say with that is even if they play a team with an elite pass rush, having Corey Linsley back was huge. You know, last week, no Linsley, they struggled. I don't think they would have struggled as much if Linsley had been in there against Carolina. He just solidifies everything. Everything, he calms everything. Everything is so settled with Corey Linsley there. Because he really has been, I think, the best center in the NFL this season. So I'm not sure. And again, playing a team with an elite pass rush, if they run the ball like they did tonight, that might not matter either. Facing an elite pass rush. But yeah, I agree with you. The defense, again, like I said a little while ago, if the defense plays anywhere near as well as they did tonight in the playoffs, this team will be almost impossible to beat. So yeah, I agree. We come now to Justin, friend of the show, Justin Cornwell, at Justin A. Cornwell. He writes, in addition to a Packers win, this is great, a new friend of the show came into the world. My daughter was born during the game. Oh, round of applause for Justin and Mrs. Cornwell. She must be good luck. A very happy day, despite not being able to watch the domination. Baby girl and I will enjoy the DVR rewatch when we get home. Go Pack, go. Oh, that's great. Congratulations, Justin and Mrs. Cornwell. Mrs. Justin, that's great stuff. I love Adam asking him, congrats, dude. Did you name her Tay or Dylan? You fucker suffers. All right, we come to Packer Ken. You're going to enjoy watching this one, Justin, for sure. We come to Packer Ken now, at Packer Ken, who writes again in all caps, AJ Dillon and Tay's hands. Yeah. 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 AJ Dillon. Hell yeah, AJ Dillon. Sauce, baby. Let's get saucy. And Tay's hands. Yeah. Devontae. I mean, he's the best receiver on the planet. He is. I watched the Cardinals-Niners game yesterday on Amazon Prime. Hopkins is really good, but Adams is better. Julio Jones is very good. Adams is better. He's better than anybody on the planet right now at the position. He just is. There's no other way to say it. I'm sorry. That's not my bias. I've watched all the other guys. Adams is just better. He is. And then Adam Summers, Brew Crewer, my old Bag of Donuts podcast co-host, bestest friend in the world, Adam Summers, Brew Crewer, at @asummers_time. Recency bias, but for real, most impressive win in the LaFleur era, and 26-point margin of victory. Yeah, it's LaFleur's, but he finally passed 21 points. 26 tonight. This is his biggest margin of victory as Packers head coach. He was stuck at 21 for what felt like forever. He's passed it now. It's not the most impressive win. I talked about this earlier. The most impressive win is still beating Seattle in the playoffs. But this is number two. Yeah. That's the only one that's more impressive than tonight. I hope people appreciate how impressive this was. Like, this was no fluke. The Packers, they curb stomped a really good Titans team. You know, they were 10-4 coming in. They're really, really good. I've watched them a few times this year. Really good, really well coached in every area. The Packers made them look foolish tonight. Yeah. Awesome. And then we have an email question from Kyle Terpenning, who still refuses to get Twitter. God bless you, Kyle. He writes, the Packers are 12-3. They definitely surprised me with how the defense played tonight outside those two Titans touchdown drives. And how about that? LaFleur's biggest margin of victory. I'm so glad the offense did not go into a shell to start the second half. They kept that gas pressed to the floor and pretty much dominated a very good AFC team. Just sucks that the Rams had to blow it for us earlier. Did Rodgers just reassert himself into the MVP race? I sure think so. Now it's on to the Bears and hopefully clinching the number one seed. Let's do it! Lot to unpack there as usual, Kyle, which I always appreciate. Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you said. I'm glad that Kyle and Adam both pointed out to me that it was LaFleur's biggest margin of victory, because I completely forgot. And it's been a thing, if you know I've been talking about on the show, how he couldn't get past 21 points. So I'm glad those two brought it up, because there's so much happened tonight. So much awesomeness. Did Rodgers just reassert himself into the MVP race? Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah, I thought he might have cost himself after last week, but yeah, it's game on again now. Yeah, now I don't know. The Chiefs locked up home field advantage, right, throughout the AFC playoffs, so I'm not sure Mahomes is going to play next week. He may play a little bit just so he doesn't sit for 3 weeks, but yeah, I think Rodgers, if he has a big game next week, I think he probably could pass him and lock it up. It's funny, because last week I thought he was out, but now I do think he's back, and probably, if he has a big game against the Bears, probably he'll clinch it. It's crazy how much that changed in a week. So yeah, I agree with you there. And then Adam sends me an email too, which just says in all caps, sauce, which is AJ Dillon's nickname. Yeah, sauce. Let's get saucy. Saucy tonight at Lambeau. So yeah, thanks to everybody who sent along questions. It's very late, so I always appreciate it, especially when it's late. It's great. That means a lot. We look ahead now to next week. Talked about it earlier, but let's really dive in now. Packers, Bears, Soldier Field, 3:25 p.m. Lambeau time kickoff for home field advantage throughout the NFC playoffs and the bragging rights of keeping your biggest rival out of the playoffs. Or at least doing your part. Unfortunately, the Bears can still clinch the last playoff spot in the NFC, even if they lose to the Packers, as long as the Arizona Cardinals also lose to the LA Rams, who, as Kyle mentioned in his email, helped the Packers approximately 0% Sunday. Thanks, Los Angeles, for absolutely nothing. Again, there are other scenarios for the Pack to get home field, even if they lose. But again, nope, not even going to entertain them. They're going to Chicago, they're winning, and they're going to make the rest of this conference have to come to Green Bay into the cold if you want to get to Tampa. Got to come through one bay to get to the next, baby. That's how we're doing it. And of course, I'll be back next Sunday night to recap that one win, lose, or draw, but it'll be a win. I'm calling my shot. It's going to be a win. They're going to win. I'm Joe Namathing this shit. They're winning. Of course, it'll likely be Monday morning by the time you hear from me, so keep an eye out for that. So until next time, whenever that may be, I am Chris Lempesis. This has been Lemp's Talking Pack. God damn, have I had fun tonight. Thank you so very much for listening, Packer Nation. I love you, I love you, I love you. Stay safe out there in this crazy world, and remember, always and forever, go Pack. Go.